So we talk a lot about secondary and tertiary markets. You know, this is our strategy. This is what we focus on. But I thought today it would be great to spend a little bit of time talking about the how. We believe that this is a market opportunity and that this is something that we're well positioned for. We sit here in Modesto, California, a very tertiary market. But I thought it'd be great to spend a little bit of time thinking about that strategy. And we've talked a lot about this idea of own the West. Could you speak a little bit about what do we mean by that? What do we mean when we say secondary, tertiary markets and we want to own the West?
Yeah. Well, it did start with the idea of Modesto. I mean, there's billions of dollars worth of buildings in Modesto, and they're all owned by somebody, and they all need to be owned by somebody, and not us, but about 1% of them probably should be owned by our investors. And it turns out that across the West, there's $1.6 trillion worth of apartments and industrial buildings that would be a fit in some form for our portfolio. And sometimes we say we want to be the Blackstone of secondary and tertiary markets. Well, Blackstone often buys, you know, $50 million and larger properties or portfolios. We tend to buy $20 to $30 million properties. We tend to live above the family or local investors, and we tend to live below the larger institutional investors. And secondary and tertiary markets are full of these kind of buildings. So it begs the thought, like, what's the right way to tackle this issue?
Yeah, to scale into it, yeah.
I was thinking sort of before this that think of In-N-Out Burger. They're in secondary and tertiary markets like crazy. They overlap, so if they have staffing issues, they can they can send people. They have a brand that extends in a halo over those areas. As they grow into those areas, their brand becomes a thing there, and it's easier to add on other locations.
Yeah.
So one thing we did as we thought about the West is we created the, well, turns out there's three north-south highways that mirror the West pretty well, the I-5, the I-15, and the I-25. So I-5 starts in California and goes to Washington. I-15 mostly goes Arizona to Washington, but the eastern side. And then the I-25 starts in Montana and comes down through Colorado. And you can cover the West along these lines pretty well. And to the extent that we buy along these lines and buy adjacent markets, we can have brand halo. We can have staffing halo. We can have a conviction halo where, hey, we understand this market pretty well. What about this next one down? What's different? What are the drivers of this versus that? What are, you know, should we be more apartments or more industrial? How will we staff it? One last idea is that this model is powerful because it's a high barriers to entry. It's difficult to buy in this way. You have to have a long vision. You have to have the patient capital that lets you do that, and you have to have the piece of conviction. But the upside is these markets are not tapped. These are not institutionalized. They are mom and pop markets to a big extent, and to the extent you can create an institutional quality strategy and mine them in an institutional way, there's a very powerful big idea.
Yeah, and we're paid for that because the return profile in doing the very same strategies, the very same approach in these inefficient markets, we're getting, you know, 200-300 basis points higher in return because we're operating in an inefficient market. I do want to go back to the In-N-Out analogy because I think that's an important one. What In-N-Out doesn't do is, hey, I'm in California, I'm in Nevada, now I'm going to Tennessee. You know, because you create a divide, and anyone who knows In-N-Out and their expansion, it's been frustrating to people. We're like, why isn't there an In-N-Out here? Why isn't it? Well, the answer is the line hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
Because they extend out very methodically. You think of the logistics, the brand halo, as you mentioned, the efficiencies associated with that. And that's one thing that we've really zeroed in on is this idea that there are corridors that cover kind of the inland Western U.S. And these corridors have a lot of continuity, you know, from I-25 all the way up and down, I-15 all the way up and down, I-5 all the way up and down. And you can't, when you're going into markets like this, you incur a lot of risk, again, using the In-N-Out analogy, by just helicoptering into a market.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, you're out there in an island, and you're in an island that is, number one, not very efficient, but number two, you don't necessarily know everything about that market because you haven't been approaching that market. Instead, you've just dropped into that market.
Yeah.
And you have the potential to incur a lot of risk when you're in these larger primary markets. Everything is more transparent. So the probability of, you know, making a mistake in the underwriting, oh, market rents are actually this, not this. We're not going to be able to achieve this CapEx spend. Instead, it's going to be this. It's much harder in those markets to make an error because it's much more transparent.
Yeah.
In these markets, it's quite the opposite. It's much easier to make an error like that when you're kind of helicoptering into a market instead of building an army in each of the markets and expanding out from there methodically.
Yeah. I love the lack of competition. When you're in secondary and tertiary markets, it doesn't make much sense for a large institutional to spend time there. It just doesn't. But it does make sense if you're in, we're currently in seven or eight of those.
Yeah.
But there's about 80 of them.
Yeah.
And you know, what wasn't it Warren Buffett that said, use the baseball analogy? He said, business is like baseball, except with baseball, you get three strikes. And in business, you can just stand at the plate and let pitches come over. And yeah, to the extent you're working efficiently with the staffing, with the acquisitions people, with the various managers, and you've built out all that infrastructure, you're seeing baseballs from many different places, and you can pick the couple you want.
Yeah.
You're not that local yeah. person that's just waiting in that town. You're waiting in
yeah.
20 towns or 40 towns.
And you've got, if using the pitch analogy, if a ball comes across from Colorado Springs and you're in Lakewood, Colorado, you're going to know a little more about the ball coming from Colorado Springs than if you haven't done a deal in Colorado.
Because the brokerage network covers multiple markets.
Yep.
The property managers and staffing are drawn from different markets.
Yep.
So you're getting a lot of boots on the ground intel about what rents are and what deals are and, you know, vacancy rates and how things are changing.
Yeah. And it, as you mentioned, it creates a barrier to entry.
Yeah.
That it's what we've realized is that when you expand into markets, that is a slow process. It's not a, hey, I move in there and all of a sudden I know everything and, you know, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. It's a learning process. We've learned as we've expanded into markets that there's definitely a learning process associated with that. And the flip side of that is it is learned slowly and acquired slowly, but that means the next person has to learn it and acquire it slowly as well. So what became a challenge initially becomes a barrier to entry
mm-hmm.
for someone else.
But it creates an opportunity for our investors to the extent they want exposure to apartments or multi-tenant industrial,
yeah.
to the extent they want broad exposure across the West. Like those are things we
diversified.
Can provide to the yeah. extent they want exposure to secondary and tertiary markets with less of a bidded process. Like we can provide this in a way that isn't otherwise provided. There's not another operator that's pursuing the strategy the way we are. I haven't
yeah.
seen one.
It's funny because in a lot of the conversations I have, it's with investors and prospective investors. I never hear the response, oh, we've already got someone in that geography.
I guess that's a good and a bad.
It is. On the one hand, initially that could sound like a bad, like, oh, we don't have anyone in that geography. But the reality is that, you know, these markets that we're talking about, $1.6 trillion, there's a huge market opportunity.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that, you know, you've got all this institutional capital, all this sophisticated capital fighting to find opportunities. And yet we're, you know, a few rows over and we're seeing all these opportunities in the markets that we're in because that we're just a little bit out of that competitiveness.
But demographics are on our side. Secondary and tertiary markets are affordable. You can raise a family there. You can go to great schools there.
Yeah. Increasingly, you can work there.
Yeah, because of Zoom and self-driving cars and all sorts of things, the markets are closer than they were. The network effect allows people who started off in cities to move to nearby suburbs or further out and enjoy a high quality of life and a high quality of income. So I think demographics are on our side with this strategy, and time is on our side too.
Yeah, absolutely. So our goal, own the West.
Own the West. Let's do it.
So we've talked a little bit about the strategy. How do you see that playing out 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Yeah. Well, it seems like we're at or near a market cycle bottom. With industrial, it feels like we're there. And with apartments, we're within 6 to 9 months. Personally, I feel like these next 3, 4, 5 years should be moderate to strong growth. It feels like now is a great time to be investing. So come back 5 years from now, I expect that we'll be in 20 markets rather than 9 or 10. I expect that we'll be in 6 states instead of 4, maybe 8 states. I don't know, but I do know that our brand will have played out. We will have staff and properties overlapping along these lines. I look forward to being consistent with this strategy. I look forward to pursuing this for a very long time. But to come back 5 years from now, I think you'll see double or triple what we've already accomplished. Yep. Instead of 7 to 9 markets, we'll be in 20 to 25 markets. Instead of 4 states, we might be in 6 or 7 states. You'll have seen us go deeper in the markets we're already in.
Yep.
And you'll see this like map where the dots are starting to be in clusters. Yep. And then there's a few outliers and then clusters and then outliers. And it'll start to be a larger, very self-evident strategy.
Yeah. And I think as we look over time, we'll use that map with the dots as our measure as we start to see more of those red dots cover that map until we own the West.
Someone needs to own the West, Ryan. I think it should be our investors.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Durable Value, an investors podcast, where we demystify commercial real estate with safe, sound investment strategies to help you balance your portfolio. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more, visit GresetaPartners.com, where you'll find more information, investors tools, case studies, and more. This podcast is hosted by Joe Muratori and Ryan Suela. It's produced, edited, and mixed by Melodic, with intro music by Ian Post. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.